Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
Well, we are so glad to have you here, and some of you might be with us because we're having a special healing service, so maybe someone invited you. And how this has kind of come about is that we have been taking the first part of this year to talk about fasting and what fasting is. And I know for a lot of people, the thought of fasting, giving up food or some other physical desire, seems kind of weird. I know when I heard about it, I thought it was something that Buddhist monks did or maybe religious fanatics. But Jesus talked about fasting. There was a time when some people came to him and they said, hey, how come your disciples, your followers don't fast, but the disciples of John the Baptist and the Pharisees do? And this is what Jesus said to them in Luke chapter 5, verse 34 and 35. He says, can you make the friends of the bridegroom, he was referring to himself, fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, then they will fast in those days. Jesus was saying, after I die for the sin of humankind and I go to heaven, then that's when my followers are going to fast. Jesus expected fasting to be a normal part of the Christian life. We don't do it to get to heaven because we are not forgiven by our works. We're forgiven by the grace of God. But fasting is something that we do that accelerates the impact of prayer. We're in this series, we're calling it Fast and Furious, because how many have seen the Fast and Furious movies? How many like those movies? How many wish you had one of those cars from the movies? Oh, yeah, give me one of those cars. You know, and those cars go fast, they accelerate. But when we fast, when we give up a craving of the body, because we have a deeper need of the Spirit, when we couple that fasting with prayer, it accelerates the impact of prayer. And we've been studying and realizing that throughout the past few weeks. And today, we're talking about fasting for healing. Fasting for healing in our bodies. And so, break out your notes this morning, and we're going to learn four things about fasting for healing. All right? This is Fast and Furious, so you got your seatbelts, you ready to buckle up? Hold on, here we go. Number one, the first thing about fasting for healing is that it is in God's will. Fasting for healing is in God's will. In week two of our series, we looked at Isaiah chapter 58, and if you'd go back and look at it, you might just want to write these verses down, verse 6, 8, and 11. Because in 6, 8, and 11, it refers to being physically healed. It's to undo the burdens, and it's not just spiritual burdens, but even physical burdens, the burdens of sickness. How many have had an extended sickness before, and you know that that sickness, it can be a burden? Yeah, it can really wear you down. And so it's to undo the burdens. It is to speed healing and to give strength to your bones. So healing is connected to fasting. We also see the Apostle John. He prayed this prayer, and he wrote about it in 3 John verse 2. He said, I want you to be in health just as your soul prospers. He related to your soul, your spiritual condition, if you've received Christ and you're prospering and growing. He says, I want your health to prosper just to be as your soul is. And so we see it is God's will for us to be healed physically. He wants us to go after him, because in the process of being well, it's not just focusing on our physical body, but it's going after God and being concerned with our spiritual condition. Now, as we fast and we realize this is part of God's will, God doesn't want us to resign ourselves to sickness. Sometimes I've heard people say, well, I'm sick, that's just the way it is. That God's will is for us to be healed. Also, we should not say whatever will be, will be. Now, that doesn't mean you ignore the doctor, okay? You respect his diagnosis line, but the doctor does not have the bottom line. Don't call something terminal until God says it's terminal, because God is the one who is in charge. He heals. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, it says, I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. And God heals us in two ways. In two ways. If you're taking notes this morning, the first way he heals us is preventatively. Preventatively. You might be getting sick, but God does something and he heals you and he prevents it from happening. Many of us, we've had cancer, we just didn't realize it. It's just that our immune system was so up to par that when those renegade cells got going, the immune system kicked in the white blood cells and they attacked those bad cells and it defeated the cancer and it never had a chance to get going. And God was working in our life and we didn't even realize it. And that's why when we're well, we need to thank God for our health. We need to thank God that we're not sick because we don't realize all the ways that God is preventing us from becoming sick. The second way that God heals us is curatively. Curatively, he takes those illnesses, those sicknesses, those injuries, and he overrules them. And that's many times when you're sick, it doesn't do you in. Many times you're not feeling well and God restores you. And sometimes it's overruled by medicine. Sometimes it's overruled by the doctor's skills. Sometimes it's overruled just by your own immune system. But God is part of that healing process. This is in Deuteronomy 32, verse 29. There is no God besides me. I heal. And in Psalm 103, verse 3, it says, bless God who heals how many of our diseases? All of our diseases. You see, there is no disease that is too impossible for God to heal. God can heal cancer. He can heal AIDS. He can heal tuberculosis. He can heal Parkinson's. He can heal cystic fibrosis. God can heal all of our diseases. The Bible is clear that there is a correlation between fasting and healing. In fact, it says, never divorce food and the lack thereof from your well-being. In Exodus 23, verse 25, it says, serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. God says, if you serve me, I'm going to bless your food. Food is connected, and when we give up food, food is what sustains us. If you miss lunch, your stomach begins to rumble. Some of you got up late this morning, you didn't get breakfast in, and your stomach is going. It sounds like that engine from the car in Fast and Furious. And you're just waiting for lunch to get out because you want to go eat. But when you give up food for a long time, you die. We rely on food to give us strength, to give us nourishment. But when we fast, we're saying, I'm setting food aside, and God, I want your strength. I need something greater than to sustain me. I need you to sustain me. I am setting aside food so that you can do a greater work in my life. And when you're sick, fast. If you've been sick and you haven't been able to overcome sickness, maybe try fasting. See what God can do if you give up a meal a day or you give up a few days. Now, some of you might need to see a doctor before you do that, but fasting is one way that God operates. Now, I want you to hear me really, really, really distinctly on this, okay? We are not saying, don't go see the doctor, okay? We're not saying, skip medicine. We're not saying, don't seek medical treatment, okay? That's not what we're saying. Divine healing is not in opposition to medicine. Jesus himself said, even the sick need a physician. Luke, he was one of Paul's missionary associates. He went on all the missionary journeys. Luke was a doctor. We also see in Isaiah 38, chapter 1, that the prophet Isaiah, when the king was sick, when King Hezekiah was sick, Hezekiah just didn't pray for him. He gave him a physical remedy. They made medicine, and it was given to Hezekiah, and the medicine is God used that to heal him. Going to doctors is not bad. Going to doctors is not a lack of faith. In fact, it is wise to go to a physician. All right? How many have heard me? Okay? It's wise to go to a physician. However, we need to be sure that we do not put our ultimate faith and trust in medicine. When we say, well, medicine is the only way and we're not going to God, we're doing God a great disservice. He is the ultimate source of our confidence for healing. There once was a patient that received some medicine, and it was miraculous. He had a total turnaround, took away all of his symptoms, his conditions, and he was perfectly fine. He comes back and visits the doctor and says, man, doc, that medicine was incredible. I give all the credit to the medicine. And the doc says, well, what about me? I mean, I was the one who diagnosed it, and I wrote the prescription. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have had the prescription to get the medicine to be healed. What about me? Well, about that time, the medical school called up and says, well, hey, what about us? If it wasn't for us, doc, you would have never received the knowledge so that you could make the diagnosis, so you could write the prescription, so they could get the medicine and be healed. What about us? About that time, the lumber mill called. And the lumber mill said, hey, what about us? If it wasn't for us, you wouldn't have had the pulp to make the paper for the books that you put all of your knowledge in, that you train all of your doctors in. You know, and then the doctors wouldn't have had that knowledge to make the diagnosis to write the prescription. In fact, we even wrote the paper that that prescription was written on. What about us? About that time, the lumberjack comes along and says, hey, what about me? If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have had the tree that was chopped down by me to make the pulp, to make the paper, to make the books, so that the doctors could get educated, so the doctor could then make the diagnosis and write the prescription and the person be healed. What about me? About this time, heaven opens up. And God says, what about me? If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have the land that the tree grew on to chop down, to make the pulp, to make the paper, to write the books, to educate the doctor, to write the prescription to heal the person. If it wasn't for me, in fact, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have had your body to chop down the tree. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have had the iron to make the axe to chop down the tree. If it wasn't for me, medical school, you wouldn't have had the land and the wood and the stones to build your building. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have your brain to think and to research and to understand, to write the knowledge down, for the doctor to diagnose. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be healed. We have to realize that whenever we are healed through medicine or surgery or something like that, God is the one who ultimately allows that surgery to take. He allows that medicine to work. Our ultimate confidence in healing is God. It's God. He says, I am your healer. So if you need healing and you've tried everything and you can't be healed, I encourage you, try fasting for healing. Now, we are going to be praying at the end of the service, and so you can fast from now to the end of the service. But if God doesn't work at the end of the service, and I'm believing he will, because I have seen God supernaturally heal people in this building, do miraculous things, and we're praying and trusting. That's why we had our church family invite you here today, so that you could be healed. Some of you, you want healing? We're going to pray for that. But if it doesn't come today, fast for healing. Okay. The next three things, we're going to see three biblical examples of people fasting for healing. So number two on your notes, when you fast for healing, promote God's program. Okay, look at 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, when you fast for healing, you want to promote God's program. This is the story of Hannah. And Hannah was barren. She could not get pregnant. And the reason she was barren, we find in verse 5, it says, to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he, Elkanah, which was Hannah's husband, he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. Notice it was the Lord who closed Hannah's womb. If you're looking for someone to blame for her problem, blame God. It was God's fault. Now, some of you might think, well, that seems a little strong. I don't know about that. Take a look at Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. The Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth, or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" You see, in Scripture, God's saying, hey, don't try to protect me. Don't miss the fact that I am the one who is sovereign. And there are certain times and certain reasons and certain places where I sovereignly choose in my will to allow something negative to impact your body. And in the case of Hannah here, he even caused it. He closed it. And God is saying, realize I'm sovereign in control. Now, that might seem a little hard, and realize that before sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, there was no sickness, there was no sin. Sickness came as a result of sin. And because of that, bad things happen. But God says, realize I'm sovereign and I allow things to happen for my program, for my plan, for my glory. I've got a purpose, and you really don't understand all the times why I allow things to happen, why I do what I do. If you have a hard time believing that, read John chapter 9. Jesus, he came to this man who had been blind from the time he had been born. He was 38 years old, and they said, "Who sinned? Did this man sin? Did his parents sin?" I mean, the guy's blind. Somebody had to have sinned. Somebody did something wrong. And Jesus says, nobody sinned. This man was born blind for this very moment, that the Son of God could come and reveal his power and his glory and his majesty. And so there are times God allows that to happen. He is the cause of the very thing that he wants to change for his own glory. I am a Christian today because I contracted allergies. I don't know if I was born with them or where I picked them up, but as a little kid, 3, 4, 5 years old, I had bad allergies. I would cough 3, 4 times a minute. My nose ran profusely. My nose was as red as a fire engine, honestly, because I was blew my nose all the time. Horrible, horrible allergies. And my mom met this lady who was a Christian, and we had been to allergy specialists. They did all these tests. They poked needles, 50 needles in my arm, 200 needles in my back, and they said, "You're allergic to dozens of things. There's absolutely nothing we can do for you. You just have to learn to live with it." And this was in the days when there was no Claritin, not all the great medicines they have today. I mean, it was a life sentence. And we didn't know what to do. And our neighbor lady, who was a Christian, my mom was telling about just the diagnosis the doctor had given. And our neighbor lady, her name was Barb, she says, "Well, could we pray for Craig? Could our church pray for Craig? Because we believe in healing." And my mom says, "Might as well. We've tried everything else. You know, this can't hurt." So they prayed, and I was at home. Get this. I was 30 miles away. I was in the living room watching television, doing a report on rattlesnakes. Really, I was just doing the report on rattlesnakes during the commercials. I wasn't getting a whole lot done. And I was doing this report. No one else is in the house. And all of a sudden, it's like this voice. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was like a voice in my head said, "Look up at the clock." I looked up at the clock. It was 10 after 8, and I stopped coughing. I immediately stopped coughing, and my nose, it stopped running. At 9 o'clock, I coughed once, and then at 10 o'clock, I coughed once. In fact, my mom was at a meeting. She came home at 10 o'clock. She walked to the door, and I coughed, and she says, "How are you doing?" And I says, "I'm great." I coughed once at 9, once at 10 when you came through the door, and my mom says, "Oh, great, you're allergic to me." I woke up the next morning, allergies gone, cough was gone, runny nose was gone. God supernaturally healed me. And it was through that my parents realized, you know, there's something real about this Jesus, about being born again, about needing to turn from your sins. We were religious, we went to church, but we were taught that, well, if you go to church and you're baptized and you take communion and you do this and that and this and that, that's how you get to heaven, you earn God's favor. But they told us you need to be born again. It was that healing that caused us to become Christians. God allowed me to have allergies because he had a bigger purpose, a bigger plan going on that we never saw. And maybe there's something going on in your life and you don't realize why God has allowed you to be sick. Don't get discouraged. Don't think he doesn't love you, because here's the thing. You know he loves you. He died on the cross for your sin. That's how we know he loves us. Just realize there's something bigger behind the scenes going on that you don't realize. And that is what was taking place with Hannah. She was barren. God had closed her womb because he had a bigger thing going on. And not only was she barren, but verse 6 tells us that she was being made fun of. She was provoked. And here's the thing. And back in Israel, in Deuteronomy, God told his people, he said, if you follow me, if you serve me, you will bear children. And so if you were barren, if you couldn't conceive in the Israelite nation, it was seen as that God was judging you, that being barren was divine judgment for God. And so Hannah is being weighed down by this burden, not just a physical burden that I can't have kids, but everybody in society saw her as there must be some evil secret thing going on. And the thing is that Hannah's husband had another wife. That wasn't right, but he had another wife. And that lady had 4 kids. So we know the problem wasn't with her husband Elkanah. It was with her. And so she's carrying this shame. She's carrying all these things around. And in verse 7, this is what it says. She wept and she did not eat. She's fasting. Elkanah, her husband, says, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? That's because she was praying and fasting. She's saying, God, give me a child. God, heal my womb. God, make me whole. And verse 10 said, she was in bitterness of soul. This physical problem caused an emotional problem. And there's some of you, if you've been dealing with sickness for a long time, a chronic sickness, you can relate to that. It can get you down. It can discourage you. It can weigh on you. And it's a horrible thing. And Hannah, what does she do to overcome this? Verse 11, she makes a vow and she says, O Lord of hosts, if you indeed will look upon the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but you will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. God, he'll come and serve you. And her son eventually was Samuel. She did have a miraculous birth, and God gave her Samuel, and she dedicated him, and God used Samuel in a powerful way, but she cut a deal with God. She cuts this deal to further God's program. It's not just about her, but God, if you do this, I will do this for you. There's a story of 2 sailors, and their ship went down, and they were in a life raft, and they'd been floating for 6 days, and they were dehydrated, and they had blisters all over, and there was nothing to drink. There was no food to eat. And one of the guys, and there was no hope in sight, and one of the guys prayed and says, God, I will give up drinking and smoking and running around with women. I'll even go overseas to a foreign land to be a missionary if you will just get me out. Wait! The other soldier cried. I see land. You don't want to cut that deal with God. You don't have to say it now. God's getting you out. Some of you here, maybe you once cut a deal with God. He says, God, if you raise me up from this bed, then you've got all of me. Then I'll serve you. And God did. He healed you. He made you well. And ever since that time, God hasn't seen you. You've hardly been around. Friends, God heals because there is a program, a plan taking place in our lives that we don't realize it. God has a plan for you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life. When you go after God's plan, you really begin to experience life and living. Only when you go your own way do you find destruction and chaos and lack of peace and rest in your life. Okay. So we've talked about fasting for God's program. The next point number 3, we need to fast for healing and pursue God's grace. Fasting for healing pursues God's grace. It's the story in 2 Samuel chapter 12 where we have an illness that is related to sin. Not all illness is related to sin. We talked about earlier, sometimes God allows it. But in this case, someone sinned and God allows sickness. And it's the case of King David. He had had an adulterous affair with a woman. She got pregnant. He tried to cover it up. It didn't work. So he had her husband killed, and then he marries her. And everything's going along fine until her baby gives sick. And then we're going to pick it up in verse 15. Nathan the prophet departed to David's house. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. Now, how did the child become ill? The Lord struck it. Why? It wasn't because of the sin that the child did. The child was innocent. It was because of the sin that David had committed. There was a consequence for sin, and so the child was sick. And David pleads in verse 16 with God for the child, and he fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. Why did he do that? Verse 22 tells us. He said, when the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live? That's why David fasted. David was in search of grace. David knew that justice required judgment and that the child should die. And he says, God, I'm fasting for grace. I'm fasting for mercy. God, don't give me what I deserve. But look what happened on verse 18. On the seventh day, David fasted a week. On the seventh day, it came to pass that the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him the child was dead. I'm here to tell you that fasting is not a magic bullet, okay? And we talked about this at the beginning of the series. Just because we fast, it doesn't mean that, okay, God takes my quarter in his cosmic vending machine and he gives me whatever I select and whatever I ask him for. Fasting is not a magic bullet. The child died. David did not get what he wanted. God turned him down. But God was gracious in two ways. Let me share those ways with you. In verse 21, the servant said to David, what is this you've done? You fasted and wept for the child when he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food. It's like, you're not crying, you're not sad, you act like nothing's wrong, you're not mourning and weeping. And David said in verse 22, when the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious that the child may live? But now he's dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. You see, God did something in David's life where instead of this incident paralyzing him, and I know some people, when a tragedy happens, they're paralyzed. They blame God. They shut down. They can't function. They stop eating. They stop sleeping. No, God gave David the grace, and he says, you can eat again. And David gets enough life that he can function normally. He's not shut down, and God was gracious that he could keep on keeping on, even in the midst of this tragedy. And there's some of you here today, God wants to give you strength to go through a tragedy if you just call out to him. David called out to God, and God gave him the strength to make it through. There was a second way that God was gracious, and it's found in verse 24. It says, David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. He went into her and lay with her. So she bore a son, and she called his name Solomon. You realize that Solomon was the man who succeeded David and became king? And what's interesting, it says, the Lord loved him. The Lord loved Solomon, and he sent word by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. The name Jedidiah means beloved of the Lord. God said, David, I'm not going to heal your first son, but I'm going to give you a second son. And to let you know I'm not mad at you, to let you know that I love you and I care about you, you call him Solomon, I'm calling him my beloved. I love him, I love you, and he's became the king. That's how gracious God was to David. And so fasting for healing requires us to pursue after God's grace. Pursue for God's grace in our lives. All right, the last point. If we're going to fast for healing, we need to realize that fasting for healing develops God's people. Take a look at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. It says in verse 1 that Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, and he went to the high priest. Saul was the persecutor of the church. He killed him. He was responsible for the church's demise. And what happened is, as he journeyed in verse 3, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. He fell to the ground. He heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Arise and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. Saul became blind. Saul became blind. Why did God do this? Because he was a little too big for his britches, and he needed to be knocked down to his size. And he also needed to be saved, and that happened. Saul realized that Jesus was God. He has this supernatural revelation, and he gives his life to Christ. He becomes a Christian, but then he has to go to Damascus, and he prays and he fasts for 3 days. Verse 9, he was 3 days without sight. He neither ate nor drank. And in verse 11, it tells us he's praying and fasting. Why? Because in verse 6, God said, "Go to Damascus and wait, and I'll show you what to do." He is praying, "God, I need revelation. And God, heal me. I don't want to be blind." He's praying for God to heal him. See, here's the thing. Sometimes when you and I are sick, flat on our back, that's when we look up to God. And God can speak to us. God has our full attention. And so sometimes God is trying to work something in our lives. And what we don't realize is that God is trying to develop us and do a work in us. As Paul is fasting, God speaks to another Christian. His name is Ananias. And Paul says, "I want you to go to Ananias." He says to Ananias, "Go see Paul." And Ananias says, "Oh, wait a second, God. Isn't that the guy that kills the Christians? Isn't that the guy that puts him in prison? And you want me to go to him? I mean, that's not really smart, God." But you see, Paul is praying and fasting, "God, I need to hear from you." And so Ananias obeys. And God reveals to Ananias in verse 15, he says, the Lord says to Ananias, "Go to Paul, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel." God said, "I've got a big plan for his life, so I've got to give him a big problem." If you're going through a big problem in your life, friends, God's up to something. God is up to something. And it's in that problem, he wants you and I to seek him, to go after him and say, "God, speak to me." God is developing something. He does that in his people. And Paul in verse 17, or Saul, it says, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus has sent me to you that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. So when he had received food, he was strengthened, and immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues. Paul went on to become a leader of the Christians, to become a leader in the church, and to take the gospel to the Gentiles, all who are non-Jew. And that's most of us here today. If it wasn't for Paul, we wouldn't be here. But God had a plan, a program, something for Paul, and he was developing him. Paul was seeking the king, and he saw the kingdom. God says, this is what I want you to do for me. Friends, if you're down physically, the answer is to look up spiritually. If you're down physically, look up to God. Don't blame God for what's happening. Look up to God and ask Him for help. After Jesus died and rose again from the dead, He appeared to His disciples 9 times. On one of those occasions, He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, they'll speak with new tongues, they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." The church is the continuation of Jesus Christ in history. Jesus operates the church, and just as Jesus had the ministry of divine healing, the church has a ministry of divine healing. God said it's through the church that whatever is bound on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. God has established His church, His followers, to be able to lay hands on the sick, to pray for the sick and they're healed. And I'm here today as a testimony saying that is true. My wife is here this morning, able to walk. Her head's not bobbling anymore. She's not having nervous twitches. She can play piano. She can do the things she couldn't do because God supernaturally healed her in a church service right here in that chair. God is a God who heals all of your diseases. He is Jehovah Rapha, your healer. He loves you. He cares for you. And this morning, we are going to pray and believe that if you're sick, if you need healing, if you need wholeness in any sphere of your life, that God will heal you. Pray with me today. Father God, You are good. You're kind, You're loving, sovereign, and all-powerful. You heal all our diseases. I pray that You reveal Yourself as the healer to every person here this morning. The most important healing is not a physical healing. It's a spiritual healing. It's not a healing of the body, it's a healing of our spirit. And we're going to pray for physical needs in just a moment, but our spiritual need carries the greatest significance. For you to be healed physically and to walk out of here and not be healed of your sins spiritually profits you very little. It may improve your life here, but it will wreck your eternal condition. And the wages of sin, all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. I've done wrong. You've done wrong. None of us are perfect. The wages of sin is death. It's separation from God and then God's judgment on sin for eternity in hell. But Jesus came to heal us spiritually so that we could come back to God. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, "He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The punishment for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed." Jesus died to heal us physically, but even before it comes to that point, He said, "I want to heal you spiritually." And for us to be healed spiritually, to be forgiven of our sin, we must confess that we've sinned. And we must confess Jesus as Lord. That word Lord basically means He's our King. He's our leader, our master, the one in charge. And I know there are some people, they believe in God, but they've never surrendered their will. And they've never said, "God, You're in charge of my life." We sang that song earlier during worship, "I surrender all." Some of you have never surrendered all to God. You're still the King of your life sitting on the throne. And this morning, you need healing. There's been a tugging on your heart. There's been a weight. You know you're not right with God. And if you're here this morning and you know you need to get right with God, You need to surrender your life to Christ. You need Him to forgive you of your sin. With no one looking around, this is a moment between you and the Lord. I just want you to put your hand up and say, I need that healing. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Anyone else today? Anyone else? You'd say, I need to be healed of my sin. Thank you, that hand in the back. Anywhere else this morning? I need God to forgive me. I need His cleansing. I want to make Jesus the King of my life. I want to follow Him. Anyone else this morning before we go on? This is your last chance. Anyone else, you'd say, I want to be forgiven. Thank you. I'm going to say this prayer, and I want no one praying alone. I'd like all of us to say this together. Father God.
Father God.
I was born a sinner.
I was born a sinner.
And I have sinned.
And I've sinned.
I am sorry.
I'm sorry.
For all I've done wrong.
For all that I've done wrong.
I receive your cleansing.
I receive your cleansing.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
Take charge of my life.
Take charge of my life.
I give you control.
I give you control.
I receive your healing.
I receive your healing.
For my spirit and soul.
For my spirit and soul.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
For dying for me.
For dying for me.
Give me your life.
Give me your life.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're told in God's word that when a sinner repents and says, God, I need you, that there is more rejoicing in heaven than over 99 just people. Heaven's throwing a party. They're excited. They're clapping. Can we join heaven this morning? Can we rejoice in what He's done in some people's lives? He's given them relationship with God. Thank you, Lord, for healing them. God, I pray that you would teach them how to walk with you and to grow in this relationship, that it doesn't stop here today because you didn't save us for a moment. You wanted a lifetime friendship with us. God, do that in their lives. Next, we're going to talk about physical healing. And even emotional healing. God says, Jesus said, I bore your griefs and your sorrows. God wants to heal all our diseases. And this morning, maybe some of you have an injury, something that's recent. Maybe your back, you had something happened to your back, your hip, your knee, whatever it might be. God wants to heal. Maybe it's an injury you had a long time ago. Maybe there's a sickness that you're dealing with, whether it's a cold or flu. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's something great. God can heal the big and the little. And this morning, if you need God to heal you, in just a moment, we're going to ask for you to put up your hand. And also, some of you, maybe you're here and you've been carrying around a depression for a long time. Maybe it's because of that chronic sickness you've had. It's wore you down and you need God to lift you up. Maybe some of you have panic attacks. God can heal that. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power of love and a sound mind. God doesn't want you to live in fear and panic and anxiety. He wants to make you whole. He can help. He can heal you of anger. He can heal you of bitterness. He can heal you of whatever it is, physical, emotional, relational baggage that you're carrying. He heals all of our diseases. So this morning, with no one looking around, if you'd say, I need healing in my body. I need healing in my soul. I need healing in my mind. Whatever it is, if you need healing, I want you to raise your hand. There are hands up all over the place. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. You can put your hands down. If you came here this morning and you wanted healing, I'm going to ask you to make some kind of a response. I'm going to ask you to maybe stand. I'm going to count to three, and then I'm going to have you make some kind of a response. Maybe it's to stand your feet right where you're at. Some of you say, man, are you going to embarrass me? Going to call me down? No, we don't want to embarrass you, but just something. I want you to move from where you're at, symbolizing, God, I believe I'm not going to stay where I'm at, but I am going to go to a new place of healing, a new place of wholeness, and I'm going to have you can stand. Maybe you'd say, I don't want to stand, but the person who invited me, I'm just going to tell them, hey, I need God to heal me, and you want to just talk to them, and they'll pray with you. We're going to have our prayer team come down as we sing this song. And some of you, you'd say, I've got a heavy burden on my life. I need to share it with someone, because sometimes when you share with someone what's going on, it's therapeutic. And if you want someone to pray for you, as we sing this song, our prayer team's going to slip over to the sides. We want you just to get up and go to the sides, but make some kind of a response. Stand, tell a friend, come to the front, go to the prayer team. On the count of three, and we're going to sing this song. Are you ready? One, two, three. God, I just pray for healing to flow in this place right now.
You give life.
God, you see what it is. God, as people cry out to you, you hear them.
Give hope.
God, bring healing. God, bring wholeness. God, do supernatural miracles. You're the same today, yesterday, and forever. You healed in the past. Heal right now, God. Let's just sing praise to Him. Those of you who are not standing for healing, just sing out to Him. Create a place of worship, a place for God to move in people's lives.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.